Words. Evening, everybody. So good to be here. It always feels like I'm coming home when I come here. Some of you are still sitting in the same chairs. They are, yes. Yeah. Adele, where are you? I saw you come up and share. There you are, there. Well done. Well done. You walked so well with the Lord over the years. I remember meeting with you years ago, Jenny and I, and you've pushed through so much. You're a warrior in the Lord, and you've really testified your life of God's goodness and grace and mercy and strength and power. Speak more. I know you're intimidated, but speak more, okay? Be confident in Him, not in yourself, because don't look to yourself and your own abilities, because you've got something to bring. You've walked the talk. And you've got something to share. You've got battle scars which glorify God. So display them well. And Natalie, where are you also? You're over there. Well done, Natalie. Likewise, also got a lot of battle scars. And you've been through a lot over the years. And you're still shining strong. And you've got a natural gift to share. And I think use it more and present it more. Be available more for what the Lord wants to use, work through you. You also are an amazing lady. You've done so well. Well done. And Jacques and Jeanette, you guys, well done, man. You guys have led so well. Watching you over the years, yes, we do meet a lot of times, but we look forward to it. I think we both just enjoy you guys more than discussing things of the church. We just enjoy the relationship with you guys, and you are amazing the way you've led these folk. And I know your heart for them his heart is so for you guys to see you come through and to shine for Jesus. Really. If you only knew the heartache sometimes of leaders, what they go through and wanting more for God's people sometimes than they want for themselves. So, yeah, well done, you guys. You've led well in the team. Who's been here since 1999 in Josh Jen? Look at that. Oh, you've pitched up. Oh, yucky. There we go. Right. Look at this. Still some veterans. Well done, you guys. Well done. It's like awards evening here. Yeah. No, but well done, you guys, just for being strong and fighting for unity in a church, in a world that's so fractured and in disunity and always breaking away and tearing, that you guys have fought for. The Bible says make every effort to keep the unity of the faith. Every effort. Strive for unity. The distorted grace message is don't strive for anything. It's all by God's grace. Of course it is. Saved by grace, not by works. Yes. But from that, God empowers us by His Holy Spirit to live for Him and to show something special. And I'm not here to speak on unity tonight, but that's one of the things Jesus' last prayer was for unity. Let them be one, Father, as we are one. Didn't pray for power, didn't pray for miracles, didn't pray for this and that. He prayed for unity, because out of that unity, He can be glorified. That's how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is glorified, through their unity and their relationship of working together. And that takes effort. That takes dying to self and allowing God to work in through you for His glory. But Jacques did ask if I'd speak on maturity. So I'd love to speak on that, because something that's close to my heart, and seeing the people of God rise into more. And this church seems to have grown since I last year. And maturity is what God's looking for. He's looking for a people with His depth, not that we should be so wide but shallow, but something that runs deep. Because I'm going to use a fair amount of scripture tonight, if I may. Well, you don't have to respond to that, because I'm going to do it anyhow. But let the scripture, let the word of God speak and really show us what God's heart is on this area, because God wants to touch lives. And we have for a purpose. What is this meeting all about? You know, what to what end? Where are we going with all this? And the answer is quite simple. He wants to be glorified. He wants people to come to know Him. He wants the world to be reached for Him. There's a lost and dying world out there. I don't know if you know, but there was a guy who was a young guy, only 31 years old, who was assassinated in America this week, Charlie Kirk. And people they've distorted a lot of what he said in media. So just go and do your own research if you are biased against him in any way. But just the response to that, and I know there's been people, and America is very politicized, so they're very political, so they're very divided as a nation at the moment, and so there's two different camps, and we should feel grief over anyone that's killed for any reason, really. But this guy does stand out at the moment because he had strong Christian values, a young guy who would debate on campuses, and just the hate towards him as he's died. People, as he was shot, there's a picture of a guy jumping for joy in front of the cameras as he was shot from 200 meters. And you just think, how evil can this world be that someone is celebrating a man dying right in front of them? All he did was have an opinion. He didn't actually kill anyone. And so you must realize that they said to the apostles when they spoke about the salvation, they said, what then must we do? Save yourselves from this evil generation. It's an evil. It always has been evil. All people are born evil out of relationship with God, and only through Jesus can we be reconciled. And that's what we're called to, is to be his ambassadors, those who would get out there and speak and let our lives speak. As Natalie and Adele's lives are spoken, and God has been glorified through their lives, as they've fought their way through the battles and the hardship of this life. And they've allowed their lives to speak volumes for how amazing God is. And God's looking for mature believers, because mature believers are effective in God's hand. We don't want immature believers, and I'll show you some scripture right now. Let's read from, let's go straight to Hebrews 5. Verse 11. I'm using the NLT. I'm still trying to get into it. I've been with the NIV all my life, but NLT is quite good for preaching, I've noticed. It explains things quite well. Hebrews 5, verse 11. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull. Imagine having a letter written to you like that. And don't seem to listen. How would you like to receive a letter like that? You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So many times people would assume that they mature in the Lord, but the reality is when the rubber hits the road, there's often an immaturity that comes out. And I like the message that Marius shared in terms of stewardship. It spoke about sowing and laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. Do you believe that you can deposit money into the bank right now and will be there? If you put 1,000 rand into the bank, I think people would be EFT it these days. In the old days, they would take cash and take it to the bank. It would go in, and your money, you've put a deposit down, and you know your money exists. It's there. It's in the bank. There's a connection between you and that money. And likewise, the Lord says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So you understand that we are connected to heaven right now. Because he's saying, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's not like you send something and it's gone. It's actually, there's a connection. So eternity has begun already. We speak about going into eternity, but actually eternity the journey has begun when we leave this physical body and we'll be with the Lord in an instant, and then we'll experience seeing him face to face. But understand that he's expecting, there's an expectation that we would lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not monetary, but in terms of what we do, what we steward in terms of our lives. It's not about money. It's about stewarding your life, because you've been given opportunity. The stewardship teaching was about taking care of. What is stewardship? It's about taking care of something, because God's entrusted us with his money in this earth. He's entrusted us with gifting and capabilities and things we can do. Are you stewarding? Are we stewarding the things that God's given us well? Would you entrust a 5-year-old with 1,000 rand to go and look after it? Be 1,000 rand worth of. We took our granddaughters out yesterday. It was candy floss first thing, you know. They'd probably spend 1,000 rand on candy floss. Wouldn't be a great investment and return on investment. You just get a sugar rush. That's all you'll get for your 1,000 rand. You'd give it to a mature person, someone who's got understanding. They would look after that money and increase it. Because Jesus said that he gave the story of the talents, of the three different amounts, 10, 5, I think, and 1. And he said he expected an increase in return of what he gave. He wanted a good stewardship of what he's given us. And if you remain a baby and a baby, like he just said there, you are still babies. I can't trust you with the word. I can't trust you with meat. I can't trust you with solid food because you haven't grown up in the spirit. I want to challenge us tonight and stretch us in terms of understanding of what God has an expectation of us. He does. Jesus made it very clear. He expects increase. And mature believers are those who would give increase and bring increase because they'd understand what God is saying, understand what the mandate is on this earth. They would allow God to change them and become like he would wants us to become, and there'll be an incredible return on our lives. Right now, would you say there is a return on your life in the spirit? And your impact in this country, in the people and the as you encounter, the life that you live, is there a return on your life at the moment? Are you touching people's lives? Are you reaching out? And it only takes, you have to reach maybe one person. I'm not saying you have to stand up front here. This is not your aim. This is not the pinnacle of ministry. The pinnacle of ministry could just be reaching one person and loving them the way Jesus would love them and speaking about and boldly with courage about what the kingdom is all about. Immature believers, see, here's some of the things that we can look at. Being part of a church for a long time does not make you a mature believer. You agree? Hearing about God doesn't make you a mature believer. Having knowledge doesn't make you a mature believer. There's some very knowledgeable people out there who are extremely immature. Operating in the gifts of the Spirit does not make you a mature believer. Judas was amongst the disciples who was casting out demons, proclaiming the gospel, doing miracles. Judas, the very guy who turned against Jesus and betrayed him. And he was doing miracles. So miracles are not impressive to God at all because he does them anyhow. You don't do zilch. But what you can do is allow God to change you in terms of your character. So none of these things indicate that you are mature by what I've just mentioned. Hang on a second, I'm just going to take my jacket off. And this is something that I think is on God's heart. He's looking for a church. Man, the nations at the moment it's like shaking, isn't it, out there? And he wants his people to be arising up. You read about in some countries where the youth are coming in, the young folk are pouring in England and places like that, and just in Holland, and people are just coming into the kingdom. And I think we don't want to miss this moment in God because, you know, I want to be part of that wave. Someone mentioned about a wave as well, catching a wave and being part of. Was it in the prayer time? I don't know where it was, but been catching the wave of what God is doing at this moment. We don't want to just have great worship times and good word and exciting relationships and good times and miss what God is really doing out there. I want to be part of what God is doing. I want to be on that wave, catching what the Lord is doing at this time and being part of His plans and purposes. And there are some people the Bible refers to as mature believers. In Galatians 6 verse 1, in the old days, we used to turn in our Bibles. You know that? Now we turn in our pads, press the button. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. It says those who are godly, and some in the NIV it would say those who are spiritual. Some would say, I think maybe the ESV might say mature. So all that is saying those who are mature, those who are spiritual, those who are more in a more mature position, go and speak to that person who's struggling in sin and to help them. But knowing that you yourself could fall as well. So that's like the humbling part. No one is better. Just because you're mature doesn't mean you're better than someone else. It just means you've learned how to listen to God, apply the knowledge, and be transformed by it. I've got my own little acronym called RAT, R-A-T, the little T-M circle, trademark, and patent pending. And it's this, revelation, application, and transformation. Revelation, application, transformation. Because so much of the church, we've been traveling a lot this year. We've been to a lot of different countries, and a lot, especially the first world countries, are very knowledgeable. Maybe more, on average, more knowledgeable than us. You don't have to actually teach tithing in some of the places there. They just grow up with it. They just know it's normal. It's a part of life, you know, even if you're saved, not saved. And so knowledge is not going to change your life. Application will change your life. When you take what you hear, and I'm going to show some more in Scripture in a moment, and you allow the truth of God's Word with the power of the Holy Spirit to transform you into what He wants you to look like. And then you come into a place of maturity. Then you'll learn how to, in Hebrews we read there, learning how right and wrong works, learning how to make the right call. We see people making such silly mistakes right now, making wrong decisions about life because they're not even knowledgeable. They don't even know what the Word says. As leaders, our job is not to just do all the work for you and finding the answer for you. We want you as a congregation, as the people of God, to learn how to sift truth. These are equipping times. These are training times right now for when you go out into the world tomorrow, Monday morning, to Tuesday, Wednesday, right through the week, to be able to go there in a place of strength and knowledge and understanding of how to apply the Word of God. Because guys are getting slapped around with false teaching. We've got winds of doctrine because we've been living in the information age for quite a long time now. Now we're now living in the misinformation age. And so we've had so much information, and the guys don't know how to apply it. Now, recently we were in another country a few weeks ago, and they lined up people for us to see during the couple of days we were in the one city in particular. And the lead elder said, they don't think that we know enough, that you like the specialist coming from South Africa, and you'll know what to do. And the definition of a specialist is somebody who's far from home. And so we didn't have all the answers, and we had to point back to the leaders. These guys have got the Holy Spirit. Come on, the deacons are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. How much more the elders have been given an anointing for the sake of doing what God wants them to do? It's not just for them to play around with and have a, wow, I've got an anointing. It's for a reason they've been given the tools in order to lead God's people, to equip God's people to do the works of ministry. Ephesians 4, which we use, and we're not here to build up, 4:12 and Josh Jen as a brand. We're here to build the kingdom of God. We'll join hands with any born-again believers across the world who stand for truth and stand for righteousness and holiness and all the things of the kingdom. But Ephesians 4 speaks about that the fivefold ministry is there for a reason. Not for them to have a job and a ministry, but they're just servants who've come with their gifting to build the body of Christ up, to equip it for works of service. We're here to equip you for works of service, for what God wants to do through your lives. And also it says there to bring the body of Christ into a place of maturity and unity. Those two things. Unity, maturity. That's what we're here to bring you out of babyhood if you're still in that place. Hopefully you're not. Hopefully you're growing. Hopefully you're tracking well. And your age is, youth folks sitting over here and all over the place, your physical, your biological age does not determine your maturity. You can still be a baby in Christ and get gray and old. And I'll sometimes go to a young folk for counsel than some of the older people because they've taken hold of God's truth and applied it to their lives and allowed God to change them. And they're wiser sometimes than the older folk. I picked on the two ladies about their battle scars. And battle scars can have two outcomes. One is what I said in their lives, that they can use it to glorify God. Look at what I've been through, and look how I'm still standing for God. Having done all to stand, I'm standing. Ephesians chapter 6. Or you can be at the back row, folded arms, licking your wounds and saying, woe is me, pity me, I've had a hard life, things are going wrong. And I don't know if the Lord's going to look so favorably upon that. Because here we've got two ladies standing. I know some of the stuff that they've been through over the years. And they fought their way through because their God reigns. Their God reigns in their life, in their hearts. And it's changed their lives. And they prepare to fight their way through all the things that have come at them. No self-pity. No feel sorry. The battle scars, yeah, look at them. Jesus nailed scarred hands. He didn't say, pity me. He said, look, these say victory. And that's so you're going to get knocked around in this life. You're going to get smacked silly. If you don't, I don't know what you're doing wrong. But maybe you've dialed out somewhere. But the reality is every single person is going to encounter hardship in some form in this life. And Jesus said, in this life, you will have hardship, but take heart. I've overcome this world. I've overcome the things of this world. How do we achieve maturity? How do we get there? Romans 8 verse 12, Romans, where have you gone there? Sorry, I'm technologically challenged. I can barely switch on these things, but I was given this by an American. So you're getting an American flavor here. No, joking. Americans are good guys. I said verse 12, eh? Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. If you allow your sinful nature to lead and guide you, you will die spiritually, not necessarily physically. You will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Isn't that amazing? As you live by the Spirit, you put to deeds the deeds of the flesh. You've got to do it. See, God's in partnership with us. When He created us, He didn't need us. There was no something missing in God, like, oh, there's a part, something missing in my life. What is it? Oh, humans, I need to create them. It was more that God wanted to share who He was, His nature, His love, just His generosity. That's why we were created, to partner with Him in this life. He doesn't want to dominate and force us to do anything. You are in relationship with God by choice. Jesus reaches out as the groom. He reaches out to all people. All to Him say, come to Me. And He calls people to Himself. And only those who respond will become the bride. And the bride, as in Revelation tells us, getting herself ready. She's getting herself ready for that day. She's preparing. We've been through two weddings in the last year or so, year and a half. Our middle son, who turned 40 yesterday, and our youngest son both got married in the last year and a half. And we watched those brides getting ready. It takes days, you know. Yeah. The guys sort of get up and comb their hair, make sure they've got two same shoes on and socks, and they're ready. But the bride, man, it's a whole procedure and a process. And when they come down the aisle, they're beautiful. There's always remarks about how beautiful the bride looks, how pretty she's made herself, and people around her have made her pretty and ready for that day. And Ephesians chapter 5 says Jesus is also making His bride ready. It's a partnership. He's in partnership with us. He'll never force us to do anything. But He does call. He does urge us to come into more. He's always calling us more and more towards Himself, more and more into a place of knowing Him and to understanding who He is. One of the amazing things about getting old, and I hope older people can agree with me on this, is that you realize you know nothing. As you realize how big God is, how incredible He is, how deep He is. He's just, there's no end to who God is. But you do learn this as you get older, how good God is. You see His faithfulness when you are unfaithful, when you mess up, when He's there to pick you up and rescue you and bring you through every situation. You see the beauty of God. You see how much He loves you, how He cares for you, how He's slow to anger, abounding in love towards us. What a God we serve. It's amazing. He's not a rule. He doesn't drive us. When He asks us to do things, He always equips us to do it. He fills us. We've been given the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness. There's nothing left out to do His will. We've been fully equipped for whatever work He's called us into. Let's read Ephesians 4, 11, 15. I didn't mention it. But it's good to read it. Ephesians 4, 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Do you believe that? Will you let us do that? Will you partner with us as we attempt to do this, to please Him in every way? This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He wants us to get there? Are you satisfied staying a baby? Do you want to remain there? Do you want to stay going around the mountain every time something goes wrong in your life, every time there's a temptation, you fall into the same sin, every time you battle something, instead of going up towards Him and getting closer to Him, you go around the mountain. Because the Lord's so patient with us, He'll take us around the mountain again. You didn't learn your lesson there. You didn't respond there. Okay, around we go. And you're going to come back to that point because God loves you so much and he wants you to pass and to come towards him. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Only then, at that point, not before. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And man, there's so many new teachings going around. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So God's taking us somewhere. God's got a plan. I was in the corporate world I worked in the business world for 23 years at my own business. In business, you've got a plan. You know where you're going. You don't just get up and hope for the best. And people think the kingdom is just sort of, we're just whatever. Let's see what happens, you know. God's got a plan. He's trying to get us to somewhere. He's trying to get us to a place of maturity. He dreams over us. He watches over our lives. He's excited about you. He looks at you with such tenderness and fondness and love. He wants you to walk in the fullness. One of the worst things will be one day to stand before him and you don't hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because you weren't faithful with the things that he entrusted to you. We see it in the parable of the talents. When he presented his one talent back, he said, "I know you're a hard taskmaster." He didn't say, "Oh, you had a tough life. It's okay, man. Don't worry about it." He said, "You wicked and lazy servant, cast him out." Servant, not stranger. Servant, cast him out. Like, whoa. We think God's just, that's why we talk about winds and doctrines and false teachings. I'm going to show you scripture in a moment. As leaders, we are forever contesting against false teaching and false accusations. I mean, what's the devil called? One of his terms, the accuser. As a church, we've come under accusations so many times publicly, even fairly recently, where people, like they did with Charlie Kirk, they distort and twist what he says and just take sound bites, and you can make anybody say anything and people just believe it. They don't research it and say, "Well, did you really say that? Can I?" Because what is the devil? One of the ways he works is to break down trust. The minute you lose trust and credibility, we can't lead people. In Vietnam War, which was way back when, 60s and 70s, the Americans were in Vietnam fighting a war. They lost 53,000 troops there. And one of the things they lost was about 800 officers because their own men killed them. They call it fragging because they use a fragmentation grenade, which is not traceable. They would throw it from behind and kill them. I lost his trust in the officer. He's dangerous to me. He's going to take me to dangerous places. I don't trust him anymore. Whoop, kill them. I think there were hundreds that they could trace, and they think it may be even more. Officers that were killed by their own men. And that's the type of thing we are dealing with in the spiritual world right now. We're trying to take God's church into more. Please test everything we say, but not with a critical attitude. If you come with a critical attitude, we're dead. But if you come with a teaching attitude and a well-postured heart towards the Word, please test everything I'm saying tonight. You're welcome to do that. You're welcome to come ask me afterwards and challenge me on things. But don't do it aggressively or rudely. Just do it we can have a polite discussion about it. Because I'd like to believe that this is the Word of God. I've been walking in this for 45 years now. And I don't want to talk nonsense up here. I'm going to get tested for everything I've said. I'll be judged on what I said. What I taught you, but I've seen fruit to what I'm teaching tonight. I've seen real fruit. I've seen tangible fruit. I've seen God really working by what I'm sharing. It's not just a good theory, a good idea. This is the real deal. These are lives that we got to present you. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, we got to present you to God one day. We have to do that. Hebrews 13, 17 says we've got to give an account for you. And we take that seriously. It's not a joke. It's not a game we're playing. It's not a business or something or a club. This is God's bride. He died for you. And we've been entrusted as under shepherds, 1 Peter 5. We're under shepherds. He's the great shepherd. And we've got a responsibility to bring you towards Jesus, to help you grow. Some plants, some water, 1 Corinthians 3. God makes it grow. This church will never grow just by our efforts. We'd like to think, "Oh, Jacques, well done. You made this grow. You did nothing. You just did your job. You just do what God called you to do. Love God's people, shepherd them, care for them. That's all we're called to do. God makes it grow. But But we don't want a bunch of babies. If a wind of doctrine blows through here and some teaching happens or some criticism comes and everyone's just shaken and people all leave. It happened with Jesus. They all left him, you know. Turns to the disciple. They saw miracles. They saw incredible miracles that we would never have seen in our lifetime. Jesus did. Well, maybe we can, but Jesus was perfect. So everyone he prayed for got healed. Only some of the people we pray for gets healed. I wish more. Through all that, through feeding them, through thousands, miracle after miracle, you think, well, man, they're all going to, wow, this is, what happened? The minute he spoke about eat my flesh, yeah. He started speaking about the breaking of bread type of thing, yeah. Communion, thank you so much. And people left him. And he turns to the disciples, what about you? Are you going to leave me as well? And they said, where do we go? You've got the words of life and truth. So we'd like to believe that we are building God's way. We were probably not perfect by a long way. We know we make mistakes. We know we haven't got the full understanding of truth. I wish we did, but we don't. But what we do know is we see God working with and changing and watching over and seeing life come from it. And here's the scripture I really want to just tuck into a little bit for the next short while. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. You doing all right out there? This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's a slave to righteousness. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Are you growing in your knowledge? Rhetorical question, don't have to answer. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Do you believe that? If the Lord's asked you to live a godly life, anything you read in Scripture, do you know it's backed up by the power of heaven? The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living in you by the Holy Spirit. You're marked. There's a seal of you. If you're born again and you know the Lord Jesus, there's a seal of the Holy Spirit upon you saying to the heavenlies, that you belong to him. You're his. Be careful. A lot of our prayers are to the heavenlies. Ephesians 3 says the church is, through his church, he wants to make his manifold wisdom known. Not to the world, to the heavenlies. There's a fighting all the time. There's displaying of God's power and splendor all the time into a heavenly realm. We are spirit beings having a temporary earthly experience. It's very temporary. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. You've got a divine nature. You're made in his image. And escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort, at us, to respond to God's call, to God's promises. You've got to respond. You can't just hear about them constantly. You'll remain a baby. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection. And lovely build up here. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow in this, not just know about it, understand it, yeah, great, understand, excellent, but you've got to grow in it. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the crux of it. The more productive, and some, the NIV says effective, you will be in your knowledge. Because the church is drowning in knowledge at the moment. There are books. You can get so much access to so much knowledge. But if you're not growing in your application of this knowledge, in applying it, you will be ineffective and unproductive in the kingdom of God. And you will go into eternity like that. So I'm urging you tonight. It's like an urging almost in the spirit. For like tonight to be a wake up and say, Lord, am I being effective in you? Am I growing in these aspects that you've just laid out? I'd like you to go home and look, go through all those increasing measures and qualities that God's speaking to us about, holiness. Are you growing in them? Go and ask people around you, that you ask your comm leader, ask the elders, ask the deacons, how am I doing in this? In fact, the elders, we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing in this? Are we growing in this? We can't just tell others to do it if we're not doing it. Are we growing? Are we being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and growing in this information, this knowledge that we have? The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. So if you're born again tonight, you've been cleansed from your old sins, because when you come to Jesus, you're washed white as snow, the Bible says. Your sins are washed away. The past is over. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? It's good news. That's why it's called good news, the gospel. It's good news. It's amazing that now we can have a relationship. Before, you can't, because people who don't come under the blood of Christ, because his blood dying on the cross, for those who may be new to all this and not know the language, don't over spiritualize the language, if you don't try and bring it that we can all understand it. But Jesus had to die on the cross. In the Old Testament with the Israelites, they always killed an animal and its blood was shed for the sake of the sins only for like a period of time. And they would have to keep repeating it. But Jesus came and died once and for all, that all who accept that he is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross, and he did take all our sins upon him, that we don't have to take them. When we stand before Jesus, our Savior, one day, he will say, you're clean, you're pure, you're holy, you're righteous. Righteous means in right standing with God. Because before, we couldn't have no relationship with God. You can come and talk to him all you like, and you can call him Father, but he's not your Father. Because Jesus even said to the Pharisees, who were the religious people at the time, your father is the devil. Isn't that marvelous? And so we've got those who come into, well, brothers and sisters, when you come into the kingdom of God, we've got a heavenly Father, we've got a brother in Jesus, and we can know him, but to grow in that knowledge. So, dear brothers, verse 10, and sisters, well done for yesterday. Work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. What? Work? I thought I could sit back and relax and wait till the end. Got my ticket. I raised my hand in a meeting. They told me I'm born again. I responded to something and I'm saved. Just Romans 10 says, if you just confess, believe in your heart, confess your mouth, you will be saved. It's ongoing. But you are saved at that moment, but it's a process of working out your salvation, walking out your salvation. That's another teaching altogether. Work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you'll never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who wants that grand entrance, eh? When you arrive there, yes, yes, grand entrance. When Charlie Kirk went into be with the Lord now, he shared the gospel all the time in all his meetings. He was always sharing about his own salvation, how he got born again. He got a bit political, that you can put over there, but he shared the gospel. I believe he's with the Lord right now. I believe he's got a grand entrance, for only God can judge. We can't make that determination, but we believe that he knew the Lord and he's with the Lord face to face. Oops, I've just gone into another. Sorry, I got myself out of where I was. Okay, I'm back. No, I'm not. There we go. Where did I get to? Verse 12, eh? Therefore, I will always remind you about these things. That's what I'm doing tonight. A lot of you guys should all know this. A lot of Peter often says, I'm reminding you, you know this. Not like news. I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them, and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught, And it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. And that's what I'm doing tonight. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. He hasn't shown me that almost, but not quite there. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. This is a reminder of what God's heart is for us, of where he wants us to go, where he wants us to be. So what's, quickly, as we come into the land, evidence, is there evidence in our lives that we submitted and teachable? Is there evidence of an obedient life producing fruit? Is there evidence of a productive life partnering in works of the Spirit? Is there evidence of an effective life touching others' lives, leaving a fragrance of Jesus? And finally, what are some of the things that can hinder change in us, that hold us back from growing and becoming mature? Holding on to the world in Matthew 16:25 says, if you hang on to this life, you will lose life. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. That's a big hindrance. A lot of folk want the best of both worlds. They want the benefits of the kingdom. Like we're living in generations now. When we grew up, when we were young once, and people didn't live together. Even the worldly people didn't live together. It was wrong. They knew. And now there's such a lack of fear of God, lack of shame, because shame is so supposedly a bad word, but actually there is no shame anymore of doing what's wrong in God's sight. And people wanted the benefits of marriage without the responsibility. They wanted sex. They wanted love and caring and material benefits, but without the responsibility, because what is one of the words that defines an adult is the word responsibility, to pick up responsibilities for something. Holding on to the world. You're not prepared to lose your life. Number two, bad doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16. This is quite a powerful. Actually, the last while, this one's really smacked me between the eyes when I just read it carefully. 1 Timothy 4:16. Because the words here are quite powerful. Paul, writing to Timothy as a young man, young pastor, leader, shepherd, says, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. The NIV says, doctrine. What are you teaching? Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. And that word salvation there is the word Greek word sozo, saved, healed, and delivered. So he says, your doctrine can actually affect your salvation and your hearer's salvation. There are some teachings going around at the moment, which, you know, some people sometimes say, well, let's just agree to disagree. I don't know if we can. I think some of those doctrines are so bad, they're potentially dangerous, says if to your salvation, your doctrines. And there's normally a lot of partial truth to these doctrines, but often the bad part is very bad. And I don't think we realize sometimes how important doctrine is. What we believe can save yourself and your hearers, what you believe and what you teach. So bad doctrine is one of the things holding us back from growing into maturity. There may be some folk tonight who are strongly struggling with some of the words that I've used. No, that's not the God I serve. Or we've heard all those type of words before, you know. No, I'm under grace. Man, you don't understand grace then. Titus says grace gives us the ability to teach us to say no to sin. They just want the mercy side of grace. They love that. Of course he's a merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in love, patient, not wanting anyone to perish. We know that. But read the other parts of Scripture as well, because you've always got to tie Scripture in with Scripture. You can't make a doctrine out of your selective Scriptures. You've got to weigh Scripture against Scripture. You've got to look at the tone of the whole Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You can't pick and choose. Number three, and the last one, unteachable and disobedient. James 1, 22. Virtually every scripture that I give, I've heard an opposing view on it. No, it doesn't mean that. It means this. But look for fruit. Jesus said wisdom will be... When they tested Jesus, they called him a wine bibber and a drunkard and a, you know, glutton and all things. He said, well, he didn't defend. He said, wisdom will be proved right by her children. Which means, look at my children. Look how they turn out. and then you'll know whether what I'm teaching, what I'm speaking about is true. James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Anyone fooling themselves tonight? For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Let's rise and stand. So tonight, if God's spoken to you through his word, I really urge you to respond. If there's been any, if you realize that maybe you haven't been producing in fruit like the way the Lord wants. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're not effective in producing what ineffective in God's hand, you've believed, no, it's okay just to hang, just to be a Christian. I've got nothing to offer. You have. Every single person has got something to offer. You're living stones. You're part of God's building. You're a royal priesthood, holy people. Every single person in this room is necessary for the kingdom to go forward. Every single one. Not one person is not needed. It's a lie from the enemy when you believe that only certain people are gifted, and every single one of us needs to present ourselves before him and say, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord. Come to the leadership and say, how can I help? In whatever form. And maybe something as simple, just loving people and caring for people, for one another. Because that's the most powerful thing, isn't it? This is how they'll know you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. That's how we reach the lost. As they see the incredible love we have one for another. And I pray tonight that many will respond to him, if need be, for your sake. So as you stand before him one day, and it could be any moment, this time last week, Charlie Kirk was alive, going about his life. Two little boy, little girl. Today's an eternity. I don't know what your life, what God's plan is for your life, but be ready, live ready. Present yourselves continuously. Lord, use me. I want to be transformed by the truth and the knowledge that I have. I want to grow in you. I want to be effective and productive. I want to be mature that you can use me. I want to be faithful. If the Lord's spoken to you in any way tonight, through any of the words, the scriptures that have come through, I want you to respond for your sake. Because this church has got so much that God's called it into. But it'll never become it, this congregation, if we don't do things God's way. But keep doing it our way. Keep holding back from God. There needs to be a boldness and a courage that needs to come over us tonight, that God can use us, every single one of us. If that's you tonight, I want you to put your hand up so that God can come and minister to you, minister to us. Respond to him tonight. The Lord to take you into more. Raise your hands if you you're feeling God's calling you into more. Calling you to become mature, to leave the things of this world. Some of us need to make real decisions tonight to change our lifestyle. And that's okay. To trust God. To trust him. Father, for those who've raised hands to you tonight, come stand down the front with me. Everyone's raised your hands. Come stand down here. It's an act of change, act of responding. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for those who want to go more into a place of maturity with you tonight and drink of you, Lord. Be transformed by the power of your Spirit. I pray for every single one of them, Lord. For renewing of minds and renewing of hearts, renewing of decisions. I pray for a preparedness, a getting ready, a presenting of self, of coming into your presence and saying, Lord, here am I. I want more, Lord. I'm hungry for more tonight. More, God. I want more of you, Lord. I want to be transformed by the power of heaven, the power of your Spirit, Lord, to glorify you with my life. Come and work in me so powerfully tonight, Lord God. I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name. And even as you go from here, that there would be a pondering of on this word, a digesting and a processing of the scriptures, to go through them again. That's a diligent steward of God's word, is to go through the scriptures. Lord, if this is you speaking tonight to us as your people, then I want to be faithful in applying it and faithful in processing it and digesting your word into the nourishing of my spirit for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Touch your people right now, Father. Touch your people, Lord. Break off, Lord, lies of the enemy. Break off false teaching, Lord. Bad doctrines. A hunger for funny things and strange doctrines. Break off self-righteousness, pride. Break it off us, Lord. Break it off us. I pray for clarity in the spirit, in our spiritual, in our spirit tonight, that we would see clearly, Lord, that a veil would lift and we'd see what you are calling us into, Lord, this great and mighty kingdom that you want to shine through our lives, that we be a fragrance wherever we go, because of you, Lord. As we get out the way in our own lives, as we die to self and allow you to live through us, that, Father, you would be glorified. Be glorified, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here tonight who's not certain about their salvation, I would urge you right now, if you're not sure, if you were to stand before the Lord tonight, as you know, good people don't go to heaven. Only saved people do. Born again. Those who know him, and more importantly, are known by him. Many will claim to know him because of miracles that they've done, casting out demons, prophesying. That doesn't impress God. There were some of them who even said, Matthew 7:25, I didn't know you. Sorry, mate. So we can get fooled. We can think it's spiritual. Is there anyone here tonight who's not certain that they are known by God, if they were to die and have to and face to face with them tonight? If you're not certain, then raise your hand right now so we can pray for you that you would come into the kingdom and start a journey with God. Is there anyone like that tonight? If your heart is going bumpity-bump and you feel that the God is speaking to you and calling you, raise your hand. Be bold. I know I did it 45 years ago. Man, life turned upside down for God. Is anyone like that? You're all okay. Bless you guys. Bless you. Where's the leader of the back? He's enjoying a moment with the Lord, yeah.